we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to a wonderful Wednesday here in Brevard County, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. If you're listening at 10:30, you're probably listening on WWBC 1510 AM or one of the simulcast frequencies associated with those two stations. So my name's Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. We want to thank you for tuning in today. Yesterday, I was at our district council, meets once every year, and just not too far up the road. So we went up there and partook in the business sessions and had a great time. This month of May is a very, very busy month for us, and so we have a lot of activities that are going on. And so that was just another one of those things. And so we want to thank you for tuning in today, and I'll do my best to bring the Word of God and refresh you and hopefully challenge you in your walk with God to go deeper with Him. You know, in Psalms 42 and 43, it says, "Deep calls unto deep." And no matter how long you have walked with God, if you just started your walk with God in the past week or so, He's calling you to a deeper walk. If you've walked with Him for 70 years, He's still calling you to a deeper walk. Never get complacent with your walk with Jesus. Always understand that there's more of Him to know than what you've already experienced. And so we want to say thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 632-9538, 632-9538. If you have any heating, air conditioning, or electrical issues, you can give them a call and anywhere in the county. They're based in Rockledge, Florida, and they can get you fixed up. They will do a great job for you. So give them a call. Write this number down. Even if you don't need them right now, if you want a good, honest company that will provide you quality service, they're not going to take advantage of you. Call them, 632-9538. If you don't know, if you don't need them right now, write that number down. You may need them in the near future, 632-9538. So today is our vintage service. I'm actually excited. My parents will be arriving in town, I believe, sometime this afternoon or this evening. And we're looking forward to spending some time with them as they come down, as our family is growing here in the near future, and my wife and I are getting promoted. We're getting promoted from father to grandfather, and in her case, mother to grandmother. And so we're excited about what God is doing in that, between graduations and promotions at work that kids have gotten, and birthdays, and Mother's Day, and district council, and now family enlargement. We are very excited about everything that God is doing. God has been good to us. I want to invite you out to our vintage service today at 11. If you are able, come join us, be a part of what God is doing here in Brevard County. I want to take you today back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Got a couple of more things that we would like to share about. We'll either get through one of those or two of those today, but we've talked about how at the beginning of the chapter that during the time of King Ahaz, that Syria and Israel had come up and attacked, Jerusalem and the nation of Judah with intent on setting up the person in office that they wanted, one son of Tabal. And so God sends Isaiah to bolster up his heart because the king's heart was filled with fear. It was moved like the wind. And so Isaiah is commanded by God to go and bolster him in his faith, strengthen him, give him a word of encouragement, and let him know that the enemies that are oppressing and attacking him that very day, that their days are limited. And so please understand that no matter what you are facing in adversity here in this life, that it has a temporary lifespan. It is not permanent. We call things in this life temporal, and it's related to the word temporary. And so a lot of times people look for permanent solutions to temporary problems when God is looking to provide permanent solutions to eternal problems. And he wants you to know that you and I, that he is for us and not against us, that he will be there to defend us. And so we had concluded on yesterday's broadcast discussing, if you will not believe, you shall not be established. And one of the things that the enemy tries to do is he tries to attack your faith. He tries to attack your mindset, the way that you think. He tries to get you to doubt your confidence. And I just want you to know that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think or imagine, according to his power that worketh mightily in you. So if you know that you are walking with God, let that be the thing that establishes you. Let his word penetrate your heart to the point that it alters the way that you think. Your attitude towards the word of God will either positively or negatively impact the way that you think. If you read the word of God, if you hear the word of God, you think on the word of God, meditate on it, it is going to change the way that you think. It is going to cause you to think not in a temporary manner, but in a eternal manner. You're going to think on things that are good and lovely, things that are of a good report, that are virtuous. You're going to think about these things. And as a result of the way that you think, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you begin to think that, it's going to alter the reality of your life. It's going to alter the way that you think. It's going to alter the way that you act and speak, who you interact with. It will affect you in a positive manner. However, if you reject the word of God, if you have no room in your heart for the word of God, then it is also going to affect your lifestyle, only it will affect it in a negative manner. You will find less and less to be grateful for, more and more to complain about. You will find yourself more irritable than you've ever been. You are going to find yourself at odds with the people around you, because whenever that vertical relationship with God is impacted, it also has an effect on your horizontal relationships, the relationships that you have with your spouse, with your kids, with your peers, with your coworkers. It has an effect. So if you and I keep that vertical relationship with God in alignment and harmonious, and we are seeking him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we are going to see unity and peace and harmony. Here's what I tell couples in premarital counseling, and that is this: husband, if you will seek the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you are going to be drawn closer to him. And wife, if you will seek the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you are going to be drawn closer to him. And just like the hub on a bicycle tire, the closer you get to that hub, the closer in proximity you become to one another. So we need to have our heart and our mind fully set upon the Lord our God. And as a result of that, we are going to be drawn closer to the people around us. We are going to have more compassion. It is going to be a more powerful relationship. So that is where the word of the Lord comes to King Ahaz, and it calls for a response. It calls for a response. A lot of times people wonder why the promises of God have not come to pass in their life. And I want you to understand that the promises of God generally are conditional. And what I mean by that, there's like in 2 Chronicles 7:14, one of the most important words in that passage is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. The biggest word there is that little two-letter word, if. It calls for an action. It calls for us to come into compliance with what God has commanded there. So if we want the results that God promises, we need to pay attention to the actions that he is asking us to make a reality in our life. And the same thing happens here for Ahaz. So let me read to you verses 10 through 17. It says, "Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house, days that have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah." Here is the action that God commanded Ahaz to do. And he says, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. The thing that Isaiah said was, you ask from God whatever you need, that your faith will be established. Now, most of the time, people, well, I won't say most of the time. What I will say is this. I have heard a lot of people saying, well, I'm not going to ask God for anything. And there's a couple of different mindsets that have been explained about that. One is that he knows what we have need of before we even ask. That is true. It's absolutely scriptural. He does know those things. But you cannot escape the reality that God has commanded us over and over and over again to ask. And there are a lot of other people who ask and they think that it is about asking for their comfort or their convenience. And I believe that it is not at all about our comfort or our convenience. I believe that God wants us to be happy, but more than to be happy, I believe that he wants us to be blessed and to be holy. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, but that is life on his terms, not life as we have defined it. We talked recently, I believe, about how society redefines terms. And Jesus is life. He is the source of adventure. He is that existence, that death is a separation of one life-giving sustenance from the source that needs that life. And so whenever a physical body is separated from oxygen, we call that body dead. In spiritual terms, a person who is separated from Jesus in a saving relationship with Jesus as Lord is separated from that life-giving relationship and is therefore already in a condition of spiritual death. But the good news is Jesus came as the resurrection and the life. He comes to resurrect that which is dead and decaying. He is longing to reconcile a relationship with you and I. So I have had other people that say, oh, there are a lot of other people in worse shape than I am, and so I'm not going to ask. Now, you have to realize that this instruction that God gave from Isaiah to the king was to ask. The king had the greatest level of prominence in that society. He was probably the richest person in the community. He probably had more luxuries going on in his life than other people throughout that society. And yet God commanded him through Isaiah, ask whatever you need. Ask whatever it is that's going to bolster your faith so that you will be immovable in your faith. And so I always tell people, look, it is not about you. It is not about whether there is a more important need or a less important need. When God commands us to ask and talk to him, it is not with the basis that God is on a ration system, that there's only a certain number of people who are going to get saved in a day, that there are only a certain number of people who are going to get healed in a certain day, that there's only a certain number of people that God is even going to hear their request. Men are limited as to their capacity of requests that they can process, but God is not so hindered. So when you see in the scriptures to ask, ask. God is inviting you to ask. In fact, he has set up this relationship through Jesus Christ as our Lord to where we can ask whatever we have need of in the name of the Father, and it shall be done to us. Now, maybe one of these days we will do a study, because a lot of times people take those things out of context and they fail to consider the conditions that God puts in those situations. You and I need to ask with proper motives. We need to realize that it is about bolstering our faith and bolstering the faith of other people. And so for you and I, as we are looking at our relationships here in the county, we need to be asking God for miraculous signs, because people desperately need Jesus. Ahaz, if you will, was a figurehead. He was very prominent. And when people would see his faith established, it would have collateral benefit throughout the nation of Judah, that when people saw the king asking and the king having his prayers answered, that it literally impacted communities. It impacted nations. Ahaz's son will rule and reign after him. His name is Hezekiah. And when Hezekiah is healed of a sickness that he's told that it was going to die, the sign that he asked for impacted the people in Babylon. They heard that he had been healed. They saw the sign. They saw the answer to prayer. And as a result of it, envoys came from Babylon to Jerusalem to find out what was going on. God wants you and I to ask him of things, not necessarily that are easy things, but that are miraculous things that are going to bolster our faith, and it is going to be living proof to those around us, to those who know us, to those who hear about it, that God is alive and that he is a miracle-working God. And so Isaiah says, ask it in the heavens, ask it in the depths of the earth, where whatever you want to ask, do it. And Ahaz says, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. So I've already talked to you a little bit about Hezekiah and his healing. In 2 Kings, I believe it's around chapter 20, you are going to find where Hezekiah is told to put his house in order. And as a result of that, Hezekiah starts praying and said, God, you know, will the dead praise you? Remember all that I have done. Hezekiah had really promoted a pursuit of godliness in the land while he was king. And as he cried out and as he asked God for a miracle, God sent Isaiah back and said, tell him that I'm going to extend his life 15 years. And tell him to ask for a sign. Shall the sundial go forward 10 degrees or shall it go backward 10 degrees? And as a result of that, Hezekiah said this, you know, it's an easy thing for it to go forward. It's going to go forward on its own. But what I want to ask is I want for the shadows to to retreat in. I want it to be unnatural. I want it to be something that when people hear about it, they're going to know that it was God who did it. And so Hezekiah, if you will, learned from his father's mistake. Because Ahaz gets rebuked here because Ahaz says, I will not ask, I will not test the Lord. I am not going to presume. And I want you to know that when what Ahaz does is he puts himself off in a sense of humility, but what he is actually declaring is rebellion against the mandate and the command of God. It comes across as humble, but it's really rebellion. You know, we hear so much about grace in the New Testament, but there are a lot of things that are imperatives. They are commands that God gives us. And we don't see it so much because we don't look and study and dig into the original languages to see the tense in which it was spoken. An imperative is go. It's not a request. When God says go into all the world, he means to go into all the world. He doesn't say go if it is your personality trait. Go if it is your spiritual gifting. Go if you feel like it. Go if it's convenient. He doesn't talk about any of those things. He just simply says go. And I will be with you. Signs and wonders shall accompany you, and you shall see spiritual victory. But it is conditioned upon the go. You see, Ahaz, he didn't have to just speculate as to whether or not God could do these miraculous things in the heavens or in the depth, because all he had to do was remember the stories that he had heard about where Joshua was doing battle and they were pursuing the enemy and the sun was going down and Isaiah, I'm going to get the right guy here. And Joshua looks up and commands the sun to stand still, and it does for 24 hours so that the victory could be won. Now, if you and I think of the fact that the sun crosses the sky, which is the way that it appears, we would think, well, that's not really that big of a deal. God just reaches up there, holds the sun in place, and everything just continues on as it was. But in reality, we know from science that the earth is revolving around the sun, not the other way around. And so for the sun to stand still, everything had to come to a screeching halt. And it wasn't too difficult for God. God will literally move heaven and earth. He already has. Jesus sat upon the throne of glory in heaven and was moved to come to earth, take on the form of humanity and live among us a sinless life, go to the death, die on the cross, be raised again from the third day, live among people in resurrected life, and then ascend to the right hand of the Father. He has already moved heaven and earth on your behalf. So you and I, we cannot ask him anything that is too difficult. And in fact, I like the story of Elijah and Elisha, where Elijah is about to be taken up into heaven in a whirlwind. And he says to Elisha, ask whatever you want and it shall be done for you. And Elisha says, I want a double portion of your anointing. And Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing. But nevertheless, if you will meet these conditions, it shall be done for you. Why don't we step up our spiritual courage and say, you know what, God, I will believe you. I want my faith to be established. I want people around to know that there's not just a little bit of luck working on my side, but there is a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. There is a God who loves me that is working on my side. The problem was that Ahaz's response did not please God. And so Isaiah responds in verse 13, and he said, "Then hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also?" Well, what I want to get you to think about, because I'm here to challenge you to increase your prayer life. I'm not talking about increasing the amount of time that you pray. That's good. But you can pray for a long time and not really accomplish anything if you are just saying rote prayers or memorized prayers, and it's just coming off of your lips. It's not coming from your... I want you to have vital, vibrant, life-giving conversations with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we talk about how 7 days without prayer makes one weak, W-E-A-K. But what about this thought, and this is probably what I'm going to close with today. What if our prayerlessness wearies God, like it talks about here in Isaiah chapter 7? Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? He had been commanded to ask, and Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not test the Lord. I will not set myself up for failure. I will not set myself up for heartache." And what it said is that that mindset had a wearisome effect upon an almighty God. Now, I want you to know God was going to do it anyway. He tells you, okay, you won't ask. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, that when you see it come to pass, you are going to know, hey, that's exactly what God said was going to take place. We'll talk about that and tomorrow. The thing that I want to communicate with you very last is Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And it says in verse number 7, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." Praise the Lord. What enemies are you facing today? Let's ask God to bring about spiritual and supernatural victory so that his kingdom is seen in a glorious light. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, I know that the enemy gets up every morning and he wants to seek a way to undermine our faith, to attack believers. God, right now, I want to ask you to intervene. Lord, that you would do miraculous things. Lord, today I pray that you would save the lost, heal the sick, and build us up in our most holy faith. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You have a marvelous Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."